Episode 61, Nathaniel Davis with Aletheia Christian College.
Welcome to the Principles in Practice podcast. This is where we discuss biblical principles for life and learning. I'm your host, Heather Hall, and this is my co-host,
Brian Hall.
Principles in Practice podcast. Today we have a special guest with us. We'd like you to welcome Nathaniel Paul Davis. He was raised in a small parish school, and Nathaniel has experienced the advantages of both local church involvement and the small multi-level education that defines the one-room school method. His first time tutoring someone else was at 6 years old, and he has not stopped working with the heart of a teacher ever since. Aletheia Christian College was born out of Pastor Randy and Dr. Diane's dreams, but Nathaniel has been the workhorse that turned that dream into a reality. Nathaniel's passion for education and for the kingdom of God has endured through the years. He has an MBA in executive leadership from the Jack Welch Management Institute at Strayer University and a Bachelor's of Arts from Trinity Western University. Welcome to our show, Nathaniel.
Thank you.
So tell us about yourself and your family.
Yeah, we have started a college to train people how to teach, Aletheia Christian College. Also trained pastors in ministry. We started it about 16 years ago, and it was born out of both many youth in the Jesus People movement 50 years ago would be on fire for the gospel, be on fire for learning, for discipleship, for reading the Bible, and they'd go to seminary and come out cold and distant from anything resembling a warm heart towards the gospel or towards God. That was the first kind of motive. My dad was saved in the Jesus People movement and became a pastor, and he wanted to train pastors to not lose their faith, not lose their heart for ministry. And so I grew up hearing about his desire to start a college to train pastors my whole life. And in the midst of this, I'm the youngest of three, and my older brother was told by some entrance advisors, this was in the late 80s, early 90s, that he would never learn to read. And so my mom just needed to get him used to manual labor, because he was either going to do that or be in jail. And being committed to having her children be able to read the gospel for themselves, we were never put in a public school because of that advice. And we were homeschooled my kindergarten year and had five families approach us and say, can you homeschool our students, our children too? And so the school that I went through from first to 12th grade, Liberty Christian Academy, was born out of our homeschool co-op that we had in our church. And during the time when my mom was looking for how to teach us, we discovered the principal approach method. And that is a method that is based on historical biblical principles as discovered in the founding of America. These educators in the San Francisco Bay Area, Verna Hall and Rosalie Slater, put together, which your listeners probably know since you talk about the principal approach, but yeah, we learned about this 30 something years ago, how they put together the principal approach. And we used it in the school that I went to through first to 12th grade. And so while my dad's passion and vision was to see pastors be able to go out and disciple communities, to not lose faith, to not be jaded by academia, but to really fall in love with God through study. That was combined with a desire to train up Christian teachers who can actually teach people how to read. The town that I grew up in, its public education system at different times is the worst in the state of Idaho. And I've met many people who can't. Many of my friends would graduate from the school system. They would graduate never having learned to read, but they would just be just like the entrance advisor suggested my brother was going to have happened to him. They'd be pushed into the back and just kind of forgotten there. And they'd have a few star pupils that they would advance. And so as Liberty Christian Academy took this same group of students using the principal approach, using smaller classroom sizes and multiple levels, because we couldn't afford to have a teacher for every grade, we changed the demographics of Jerome. Whereas Jerome has a 35% high school dropout rate, we push that up. Whereas Jerome has a lot of poverty and a lot of just people who feel like even if they graduate high school, they feel like they can't read. They feel like they can't know what anything means. Not just the gospel, but what do laws mean? What does it mean to be someone who makes decisions? And then our graduates from the same group of people are going on to become captains and medics in the military. They're going on to become computer programmers and engineers for railroad companies, to be doctors and musicians. So we take this same group of people, and through more traditional education, through education pre the consolidation of schools in the 1950s, we were able to have a community that looked a lot more like the America that changed the world, and a lot less like the America that doesn't know what it's doing. And so this became the second prong of what eventually became Aletheia Christian College. The first is to train pastors and people to do ministry. And the second is to train teachers. And my mom, who was at this point the headmaster of a school and a pastor's wife, did her master's degree looking at principal approach education and comparing it to traditional education in Christian schools. And she went on to do her doctorate. And as she was praying and looking around for someone she could study for her doctorate, she did it on a one-room school teacher in Jerome. And this lady demonstrated that her ability, Estella Malden Ricketts, did more in her little one-room schools than the current Jerome school system can do with their multi-million dollar facilities and 100 to 200 teachers in each school. And so our addition to the education conversation, the principal approach, was founded many years ago, and that is headquartered in Chesapeake, Virginia, with the Foundation for American Christian Education. But what Aletheia is bringing through Dr. Davis's research and through our experience with starting and running schools that transform communities is a one-room school that's smaller, that has multiple levels in one classroom, is actually just better than the Prussian model that grades out students into age levels and then high quality, medium quality, and low quality students, and then gives them specific teachers, gives them specific resources depending on their needs. It's a very socialist model of education, and it doesn't work. Where in a one-room school, it's a lot more like a family, and the only time socialism will work is in kind of a family setting, and so it doesn't get too big. And the parents are involved. And when you have students at different age levels, they learn from each other. I've seen this time and time again, where a student will go into a classroom with second graders, not knowing, a 15-year-old doesn't know any of the things second graders know, or some of the things. And the student learns, not because they're in second grade, but because the second graders are learning in the same place as them. And in the same way, those second graders get to see what the 15-year-old is working on and are inspired. And so your faster students learn from those who are older than them, and your slower students learn from those who are younger than them. and everyone grows together. And it's just been amazing. We launched the One Room School Method in 2012, specifically to train missionaries to be able to start mission schools without a lot of resources overseas. And then after 2020, a lot of Americans have started asking us to help them transform their traditional school into more of a one-room school model, or start a one-room school from scratch. And so that's a little of what we've been doing with education and with Aletheia and the One Room School Method.
That's a really powerful testimony of the change that has come out of the One Room School Method that your mother started, and then also Aletheia's role in the big picture with the principal approach. Thank you for sharing that. And when I listen to you about the One Room Method, I think it resonates with a lot of homeschool families, because there's a together school aspect that's already in a lot of the families, where they'll study, you know, history together, and then the older students will branch off and they'll go deeper into the study or learn more, but there's the overarching principles that they learn together. And you know, other subjects, sometimes like math, depending on where the different children are at with their understanding of it, or even with English. So I think that this is really encouraging to homeschool parents that are listening, who might be wanting to branch out of just their homeschool like your mom did, and then start a homeschool group, or a you know, maybe a small homeschool hybrid school. Mm-hmm. And you have a course that you offer, and Brian and I are actually involved in taking that course right now. Would you like to speak about that, the audience?
We have a full certification program, and the class that we're just finishing up is kind of the business aspects of running a one-room school, and that's one out of six major courses with two seminars that are in the certificate. And that right now is done live via Zoom as a lecture and discussion format with assignments, and we cover everything from the legal issues in starting your school, how teaching, and in teaching we look a lot at the principal approach method and how to use that in a one-room school. We look at administering, and that's where you're going to grow from. Your homeschool grows into a co-op or a hybrid type school, and then that can grow into a one-room school or a two-room school. And to a certain degree, some of the research we've been doing recently shows that there's a size where you don't want to get too big, but there's still room for growth. And so all of those can be done live, but we also have it's called the non-facilitated. And that's where you show up and watch the videos, you fill out the paperwork, you can do it on your own time, own pace. And that's called our $300 Preparing the Ground class. And so if you go to the oneroomschoolmethod.com, that will show you, that's our landing page on preparing the ground. And that is $300 for 9 hours of lecture on business aspects, legal issues, and intro to the teaching in the one room school. So it's a condensation of those three courses from the certificate, which gives many people, we've had schools, four schools start up just from that as of last count, and other people working with that still. So that's a growing number. And we released that since COVID. And so, yeah, you can learn at your own pace, or you can dive all in. We also, as we are building a college, we have four-year degree programs for those who don't already have a degree. The certificate for teaching in the one-room school is designed to be kind of a grad certificate. So we want you to already have a bachelor's degree if you want to be certified in the one-room school method. Otherwise, we recommend that you pursue a full degree, because there's a lot to learn if you want to teach full time. And a lot of homeschool parents know that they spend a lot of time learning to stay ahead of their kids. And as the size of the group grows, if you have more kids involved, you need to spend more time learning to stay ahead of them. And so you have many options to learn with us. And we definitely believe not so much in us teaching you as in all of us learning together how to better teach, how to better serve our children and our communities and our students as teachers.
And so what is the workload like for, let's say, the homeschool mom that wants to go ahead and go through your certificate program full time, but she's homeschooling? So time-wise, how does that balance out for her?
The lectures, if you're going for the certificate, the lectures are one night a week. Right now, it's usually on Tuesdays. Our first Tuesdays are free and open to the public, so you can actually hop on one of those to see what it's like, the first Tuesday of every month. And then there's the work that goes into each class is, it's not busy work. So there is, depending on the class, there can be a substantial amount of workload, but it's things that you want to, that you will take to your school or your home school and use the next day. We were wrapping up the business issues class, and I had a student say that she's like, every time I come to one of this class, I come into the school the next morning, and they've just started a school this year. And she says, and my other teachers just look at me and say, well, like expecting me to say that whatever we were talking about before I went into class, we talked about at class that night, and I have some answers. And so there is the workload. I would say that your biggest time commitment is that 2 to 3 hours of lecture one night a week. And you want to be there for that, because that's where discussions happen. That's where you can answer. You can ask us questions, and we can give you answers from our own experience, or even other students can give you answers from their experience. And so it is a learning together. So that's kind of your biggest commitment, is attending that. And then there is homework assigned, but it's not designed to be academically heavy. It's designed to give you practical tools to use in the morning when you go teach your students.
And that's excellent. And I can attest to that, because as I mentioned, we're going through that course right now. And our dynamics are a little bit different, because the church that partnered with us isn't charging us to use the building. And in exchange for offering education as a ministry to homeschool families, we're not, you know, the agreement is that we're not going to charge for them to participate in the group. But even so, we're walking away with a lot of wisdom from your experience and Dr. Diane Davis's experience. And I think that that's helping to prepare us for later on down the road, should we open up an actual school or homeschool hybrid school. So we highly recommend it. You had mentioned that there are missionaries that go through your college and graduate, and then they go out and they start schools. Do you know how many schools have been started by the missionaries who have graduated through your college?
Four different educational ministries going on in, there's Haiti, Egypt, Indonesia, and Papua New Guinea that we have sent students to. And we, as of this moment, we are not accredited. And even if and when we pursue accreditation, we want to be a little different in how we think about education. We aren't going to ever accept funds from the federal government. And so we don't have to have the same goal as a government-funded school of producing this certificate that demonstrates that this person is going to be a good citizen for this specific career. That's not our goal. Our goal is to help people learn to think. And so if a student comes and takes 4 or 5 classes and really takes that to heart and then goes and uses that, we had a pastor's wife who came and was working on the certificate, and then they went overseas to Papua New Guinea, and she worked at the Wycliffe school there, and she took what she'd learned. And so we consider her an alumni of the school, even though she's not a graduate of the school. And in that way, we've had many schools start here in the US, and we've had her work with educational ministry in Papua New Guinea. We've had a graduate, someone who actually has a 4-year degree from Aletheia, go and plant schools in Indonesia. Another graduate has gone in and started some educational ministries in Cairo, both to Muslims and to Christian refugees from Sudan. And then we've had students come to us from a ministry in Haiti and learn with us and then take what they learned back to Haiti for their school and church. And so to a certain degree, I don't really know. I mean, because I have taught students in Cairo, and I know that they have gone and helped start schools in Sudan. It's hard to know how far your influence reaches. And one of the joys I have is seeing people see the seed of local self-government being planted through education, where we teach someone and they run with it and they start teaching other people. We've seen back in my Liberty days, I remember seeing, we'd have families go out and start a school. They didn't like something at our school, so they'd start a school to compete with us. And many people would be like, is this a problem? And it might not feel the best, but at the end of the day, the ministry of education is continuing, and they are taking the seed that they've learned and planting it in new soil. And so that gets us to the point where we can have political union with people doing education in all branches of Christianity, for where they might disagree with us on something and need to go start their own school. And that's one reason I like the idea of small schools, of the one-room school method, is you don't have to work with everyone. And it creates better education when you can come together with people over essentials or over things that you can agree with. My hometown is in an area that is predominantly Mormon. And especially when you go out into the other districts. And so a lot of the people who did better in academics were often Mormon. And so when we went to academic competitions, we were usually hanging out with Mormon kids because they cared about the quality of learning that we cared about. And so we were able to have union with them over the idea of having high quality of education without agreeing with them on their idea of scripture or on their idea of who Joseph Smith was or their idea of what it means to be saved. Disagreements on many, many things, but we could agree on other things and come together. And when you have this idea of a one-room school, schools can get planted everywhere, and you can come together when you need to. If you want to put a sports team together, if you want to build a choir, those are all things that require more than a small school can provide. So you bind together with other schools that you can agree with for music or for sports. And then you can have a one-room school where this one is Lutheran, this one is Baptist, this one only reads the Bible in original Greek. And so everyone has to get immersed in Koine Greek, or this one's only in Hebrew in the Old Testament. So you could have an immersion school. There's so many options. So I got a little distracted, but the answer to you is we've had at least four overseas that I can count a direct relation to. When we get to our next sphere of influence, I would probably say at least several dozen. And then wow. I don't know beyond that.
Well, that's really good, because you're highlighting that, like in America's history, where people didn't necessarily agree on everything when it came to faith, but they could at least come together and unite on basic principles out of God's word, the general truths for that unity with union. And you're seeing that reflected in the educational sphere, like you're talking about. And then it's also good because we're supposed to make disciples of Christ. And then and then through education, that grows exponentially. And maybe we're not supposed to exactly know the numbers of that, because we don't want to take the credit. We want God to get the glory and the credit for all of that in the end. But it still shows and speaks to the, you know, gives testimony of the faithfulness of teaching and making disciples and encouraging others to go out and follow the calling that God's given them to where and how they're to teach.
Yeah, and we're to occupy till it comes. We're planting seeds, and we're not going to necessarily see what comes of this. But they're there for His glory. Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned about how the principal approach impacted you and other students while you were growing up. How has this played out in your life as an adult?
I think it's been ingested so much of the principles that it's almost hard to differentiate between where they've impacted me and where they haven't, or if there is any spot where, I mean, because some of the things, God's principle of individuality is so basic to an understanding of what it means to be made in the image of God that I'd say that's fairly essential to my identity. I think it plays out. It's been interesting to me to see areas that have been shaken in the last 20 years since I graduated high school, and to see what's things where I feel like returning to the first fruits now in my 30s in ways that I might not have in my 20s. And so I'd say it's been very just foundational, not even influential. It's just the biblical principles and Christian education has impacted me far beyond what I can even define. But I do know that the idea of Christian character impacts, because of diligence and industry, you'll talk about a lot, that impacts how I approach if I'm going to go work in a secular environment like a restaurant, because everyone else is trying to, when you start getting into management, people are trying to manage others rather than lead them. But when you say, you know what, character is formed by watching someone else do good work and mimicking that. So if I'm not able to lead, then why should I expect them to follow? And so the biblical principles are something that you can just live out. And it impacts if you believe that people are that everyone is an individual made in the image of God, then you're going to treat them differently than if you look at someone else and be like, you know what, you are not my people. If mm-hmm. you can think of how can I plant a seed of government, of self-government here? How can I honor someone else's conscience? These things are just become a second nature, a new nature. Part of being made a disciple, being remade in the image of Christ, is to learn how to put biblical principles of government, education, family into practice in your life. And when you do, if you're learn this as a child, it's a lot easier than it is to learn as an adult. And you can put it into practice a lot sooner. And just like if I had committed to staying out of debt and investing from a young childhood, my finances would be a lot better now than they are. And those who did so are light years ahead of me on that. In the same way, I did have a biblical education and it has stuck with me. And so when it comes to many things like how I treat people, I am light years ahead of many other people. And so there's a lot. It can be overwhelming when you're teaching students, you're teaching your kids, is how do I know I'm not going to miss something? And well, we're going to miss things. And so we have to trust God that God will be there to catch us. We have to trust that God actually said, that Jesus actually said, for God so loved the world that he sent me, that he sent his only begotten son. So we have to trust in that. But then we have to try to build foundations. We have to try to find quality systems and philosophies and worldviews and methods, like the principal approach, like, you know, like looking at classical conversations and how can you implement that if you go that way, or use the principal approach, or use the one room school method. All of these things are tools that we are given to try to build a better foundation for our students. And we implement them by the grace of God so that the next generation hopefully will grow up better off than we were. And that's the prayer of every parent, and I think every teacher. And so how has it impacted me as an adult? It's impacted everything. And I can only hope that my children will have the same foundation going forward as I did, and that it will play out into the next generation after them.
I like that you highlight that, because you're talking about modeling it for your children, because it's not just academic. It really does come down to living it out in our daily life. And I think I heard you address, without saying it in these terms, that there isn't a sacred secular divide in any area of life. And then also, because there are so many biblical principles that there are to apply to life, that it can seem overwhelming, and maybe we're not going to hit everything. But once we teach our children how to think and reason biblically and how to do that research, then as they study God's word, they're able to learn outside of the time that they're given instruction by us, but also have it reinforced by seeing mom and dad model it, that hopefully that'll become a part of their nature as well, you know, modeling after Christ's character. And I think a lot of it has to do with the sanctification process, because we're continuing to have our minds renewed by God's word. We're continuing to grow. And I think that's a really important aspect of the way that we homeschool and that we live as a family. Mm-hmm.
So thanks for sharing your testimony about all that in your life and all that information. Do you have any resources that you highly recommend to our listeners to look at?
I recommend, if you have not gone to Face face.net. That is a great resource. And publicschoolexit.com is also they have links out to a lot of resources for homeschooling, for starting a school, for starting a school in your church. And they also have a link to us, the onerumschoolmethod.com. And join groups, talk to other parents, talk to people in your church, and start something. Teach your kids, teach your neighbor's kids. So the resource is really more of a call to action that you need to go teach in your community. You need to go practice. You need to find the resources that you can. I'm sure you all give a lot of resources through your podcast, so keep listening to this. Go to the One Room School Method, go to alethiachristian.com. We have a lot of resources there, and I'm working on growing that. We have, if you go to our website, you can link through to our free resources as well as the $300 course. And so there's a lot of resources out there. Public School Exit has it. FACE has it. A lot of resources, but you need to practice. So start. If you're not involved in your kids' education right now in any way, you need to start with reading to them. If you're thinking about taking them out of a school or starting your own school, do it. You can sign up for Preparing the Ground, and we will teach you how to do it in 30 days, and you can be teaching your kids and someone else's kids in the next month. But start.
Those are great words. Nathaniel, thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to have you back on the show.
Thanks for having me.
As always, if you're looking for additional resources or support, you can visit our website at principalacademy.com, check out our shop and our blog, and you can also find us on Facebook at Christian Homeschooling with Bible Principles, also on Instagram under Principal Academy. Thanks so much for joining us.
All right. Well, this is Heather Hall.
And this is Brian Hall.
For Christ and His glory.